Our scripture comes from Luke, the second chapter, 8 through 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Christmas is a time we pause to celebrate the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ. At his birth, the angels announced good tidings of great joy. Today, we still hear that joyful sound of Christmas as they brought glad tidings to their generation. So today, let us bring glad tidings of Christ's birth. The Messiah, meaning Anointed One, was a title given to the great Son of David, who would come and bring salvation to all who put their hope in him.
Messiah, Lord of all, Son of God,
Is old but forever new. Mary and Joseph journeyed to Bethlehem, their ancestral home, to be registered according to the decree of Caesar Augustus. Finding no room in the inn, they had to use a stable for their lodging place. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger.
Sweet child of mercy, send tears. time and destiny would meet. The appointed night was approaching, and the angels started rejoicing as they heard the voice of God calling.
The manger scenes we so much enjoy are meant to inspire us in all Christmas of God becoming a man and dwelling among us, our Emmanuel. We sing Alleluia with joy at this season, all because Jesus is born.
Thank you.
The Gospel of John, chapter 1, says that Jesus came that which was his own. But his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, but born of God. May we all say to him, "You are welcome here in my heart and life."
Child, you May we all be filled with the awe of Jesus' birth. Please stand and join us in singing the familiar Christmas carols.
Thank you.
Christmas Hallelujah was the name of our musical that we presented. And isn't that, or shouldn't that be our response to Christmas? We ought to want to worship Christ, because that's what the shepherds did. We can learn a lot from those shepherds, can't we? And I want us to look this morning at the response of the shepherds to this announcement that they had received, to go and worship the one who was to be Christ the Lord. What did they do? What can we learn from them? Well, first of all, we can learn from the fact that they listened. They listened. I have selective hearing, I'm told. I like to hear what I want to hear, and what I don't want to hear, I tune out. And maybe you have selective hearing. Think of these shepherds. They heard the message, didn't they? And they responded to that message. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, obviously, just hearing, you know, isn't enough. Just having something go into our ears, sometimes it goes straight through and doesn't really have any impact on us. But that's why we need not only to listen, we need to hear. We need to hear the Word of God, don't we? As the shepherds did. And then we need to obey. We need to hear, but we also need to obey. Because the Bible says that without that obedience, our hearing is worthless. And that's what the shepherds did. They obeyed. They were decisive. They said, "Let us go." They hurried. They hurried to the manger. Now, we hurry to a lot of things, even here in Alturas, especially at this season of the year. There's a lot of things to be done. And so you really got to be careful, because there are other people hurrying too, and you might collide. But do we hurry to the things of God? And most of all, to that babe that was born in the manger. No, he wasn't just born to be a baby to be admired. Sometimes we wish those little babies would remain babies forever, but we know that they grow up, and that's as it should be. Well, Jesus grew up, and he walked a road called the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. And that road led him to the cross, where he died there for our sins. Now, I'm not sure the shepherds understood all that, but I think being good Jewish men, they understood something of the fact that they were sinners and that they needed a sacrifice for sin. And Jesus came to be that sacrifice for their sin. And so they came, and they listened. They worshiped him. There was listening. But there was also looking. They also looked. Now, the tragedy of Christmas is that many do not follow the example of the shepherds. John, in his epistle, the first letter that he wrote, said that which was from the beginning, speaking of Christ, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Do you remember one time Jesus was asked by one of his disciples, who was not yet a disciple, he was kind of, I think, what we would call a seeker. He wanted to know more about Jesus. And so he said, "Master, where do you live?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." Jesus wants us to come and see, doesn't he? That's what Christmas is all about, to come and see that Christ child in the manger. And not just to see him, but to see him with anticipation. I think when they left that place, where it was a very common place, it was very common to them, it wouldn't maybe be to us, but out in the fields there, we're told at night, they saw this sight, the angels, the sky was ablaze with light, and the angels announced this birth of all births. And so they must have had great anticipation as they came to Bethlehem and came to that stable where that little baby was lying. They also had contemplation as they gazed into the face of Jesus. I think that they must have known that they were looking into the face of God. And there was not only contemplation, but there was fascination, because the Bible says they marveled when they saw the manger. And they marveled, I think, because of the fact that God had become a man. One of the most precious names for Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I feel so sorry for anyone who does not have God with them. And I believe what the Bible teaches is true, that you cannot know God except through Jesus Christ, who is our Emmanuel, God with us. So they listened. They looked. They looked with anticipation. I should have let you run this. They looked with contemplation. They looked with fascination. But they also, not only did they listen and look, but they left. They left. You know, sometimes the things that are most obvious we overlook. I think it's very important to notice that the shepherds didn't stick around. They didn't build a shrine there on that spot. You may remember that later in Jesus, when Jesus was grown up and he took three of his disciples up on, Peter, James, and John, up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says that Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw him as he really was. They saw him in all of his glory. And you'd think, well, that must have been a life-changing experience. I think it was a life-changing experience, but it wasn't at the time, because Peter said, Lord, let us build three shrines here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because Jesus had met with those two great Old Testament men there on the mountain. Then a cloud overshadowed the mountain. And I don't know whether you've been on a mountain and a cloud has come across, but you probably have run for cover, as you should. But they must have felt that something was going to happen, and something did. God spoke to them, and he said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. So they didn't stay there, obviously. They left. They left, and they left, first of all, with purpose. What if the shepherds went back to their friends and relatives and only talked about peace on earth and the brotherhood of man? But I believe they talked, surely you would agree, about the Christ that they had seen, the child that they had seen, and how he had come to be the Savior of the world. They must have told that to everyone that they met. And I think that we here today are testimonies to the fact that their witness was effective. They left with power. People wondered, it says here in the scriptures, as they heard. Do we make people wonder? Someone wrote the well-known Christmas carol, I wonder as I wonder. But are we content to let people wonder, but not wonder? God came to send a great shepherd to us, a good shepherd, who would point us to the way that we ought to go. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so the shepherds surely had a power for life, a purpose, first of all, but a power for life that they had not had previously, because they had met Jesus. Let me ask you, have you met Jesus? Have you really come to know him? Have you really come to understand that babe in the manger is the Son of God who came to die for your sins? But they also left with praise. It said they left praising God for the things that they had seen and heard. And now, do you suppose this was silent praise? You know, just kind of praise in their heart, but nothing that showed on their lips or their face? Or no, of course not. Is there any such thing as silent praise? Thank you, Rachel. I'm glad you agree with me. You know that if you want to praise your dad, for example, which I'm sure you often do, that you say something in praise of him and vice versa. And I know he's going to have some words of praise for you for that beautiful solo. Well, obviously, we're being facetious here. They praise with their voices. You know, I've been to a few football games. I think maybe, no, I haven't really been to any professional football games, but I've been to a few professional sporting events. And I've found that there are a lot of holy rollers there. There are a lot of people who make fools out of themselves. And they're very emotional. And they're very expressive. You find me a fan that isn't. Well, shouldn't we as Christians be expressive when it comes to worship? Shouldn't we adore when the hymn says, oh, come, let us adore him? Doesn't that mean that we do something to show that adoration? That we raise our voices? That we raise our hands if God leads us to do so? That we lift our hearts above all? And that we're not ashamed that others would see us worshiping him who is born to be our King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Come here.
child.